Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him. I think that's a good idea. And I certainly believe that if we will honor him and praise him, that he will do what he told his prophet he would do. Whenever he does it. You know? Sometimes it takes a long time for what God says to come to pass. But it comes to pass. And so we like suddenlies, and that's where we'll stand, with suddenlies. It might be suddenly sometime later, and it might be suddenly right now. Little do we know, right? Amen. Well, there are some truths that we know, right? And then they sort of get stalled. You know what I mean? We can become excited about something, and then we can become settled down. I never forget when we got saved that they told us we were in the honeymoon stage. And that it would temper and it would level off. They were wrong. He just keeps getting better. We just keep getting more excited about the Lord. We know that verse that says, stir up that gift that's within you. You know? Sometimes we maybe just need to run around and spin around and shout and praise a little to get that stirred up, you know? I make chocolate milk for Michael, and that chocolate milk will settle sometimes, and I shake it up again. But I can shake it up better than a spoon can stir it. So I make it and I shake it. Make it and shake it. Let that be your battle cry. I'm going to make it and shake it. You know? If you sense it settling, you know, if you picked up a chocolate milk and there was chocolate on the bottom, you say, oh, well, I'll just drink it. No, you wouldn't. You'd shake it. Right? Make it and shake it. Be excited about the Lord. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So we're becoming what we are. We've been made holy. And we're becoming holy. We've been made it. We were created for that. So what God intends is what happens, right? Right? You know? The only thing that fits right, looks right, or feels right is holy, set apart to God. Everything else is just not quite right. You know? It just doesn't feel right. When we're outside of the holy that we've been made, it's just not quite right. Now we can become accustomed to it just a little bit, you know. We can rationalize and excuse, and you know, I mean, we can like, I don't know, I just don't feel right, but it must just be me, you know. Maybe it's something in the air, you know. Maybe it's just something. So Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The truth. It's the truth. David was speaking the truth in reasonably complex circumstances and situations. You know? The Lord's my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? See, we remind ourselves. That's what's in us. That's what's in us that tries to come up. Tries to, you know, it's like the chocolate will shake itself. Won't he? Doesn't he? He shakes it. He brings it to our remembrance. Sometimes we have things, you might have something that you read and that you marked in your Bible, and then it's not till the next time that you read it, maybe. Or maybe the third time that you read it, or maybe the fifth time that you read it, or maybe years after you read it and you look at that and you think, oh, yes. I said in the devotion, sometimes I like my hearing aids, sometimes I don't like them. Sometimes they work, sometimes I don't like how they work, you know. And I received a letter from them with simple explanation about things that might help. And I pinned that to my bulletin board. And instead of looking at it again, I was practicing to remember. I knew if I did something, something did it. Something made it work. I push, pump, long push, short push, whatever the case might be. You know? And finally I went and I read it. And it works. Simple as can be, it does. Improve things doing it the way that they wrote it. Same thing with the Bible. It works. It works. Some of us maybe we just get a little too serious about the idea of thy word have I hid in my heart. On Monday or Tuesday, I put a note in my journal and in my app that said, becoming was the word for today. And every day then when I go through my prayer time, I see becoming is a word for the day. And last night, I said to the Lord, was that the word for today? Becoming. Becoming. We are becoming. We are becoming what we already have been made. Because we are growing into what God has made us to be. And so, in Psalm 27, David is going over in his heart about these things, I think. He's remembering. He's declaring these things. In verse 2, he says, when evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they're going to stumble and fall. Well, that feels good. You know? I read that and I might apply it to some things that go on where people are trying to dig holes and the Bible reminds us that they'll fall into their own hole. You know? But we want to remember these things. Though mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Fear stills, kills, and destroys. He said, though it surrounds me, I won't be afraid. And we can say that, and then we think, whoa, phew, that's a tall order, but it's the truth. So if you abide in the truth, and the truth abides in you, and you abide in Jesus, then you'll know the truth. So you say the truth. You say the truth. This isn't just for David, this is for us, right? When things surround me, they will not defeat me. My heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. You know? Vicki and I are still, every now and then I'll say or she'll say, man, thank God for that success with the anesthesia. You know, that was a victory. Man, that was a victory. That was a wonderful thing. How's your back? I'm okay. Okay, you're okay. I decree it. It's the truth. You're okay. But it's, you know, it ain't as wonderful as it should be. But that doesn't change anything. Even if I'm attacked, I'm going to remain confident. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. I'm going to remain confident. Even if I'm attacked, the one thing I ask of the Lord is the thing I seek most. I've always loved this verse. To live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. You know? Did you know? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are a temple. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. When I read that today, I thought, yeah. Meditating in his temple. I'm his temple. You're his temple. You know? We are a dwelling place for God. One thing have I desired. That isn't sometime later, is it? When do we have eternal life? We have eternal life the day we call on the Lord, right? We have eternal life. Eternal life begins then. And so as we grow into what we are, as we grow into our holiness, we experience more of the eternal life here and now. We experience the peace, you know. Some glad morning when this life is over, you know. They tell me of a home where no storm clouds roam. They tell me of a land far away. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sighing. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more fear. All of those things, my friends, are here. They may still come, but we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. When the enemy surrounds me, I will not fear. Do you ever feel surrounded? Sure. Ever feel discouraged? Ever wish it all would just go away? You know? Make the world go away. You know? I mean, we have those feelings, but this we know. All who call upon the name of the Lord will have eternal life. You know? Just a second, I'm going to step into eternal life. I just need a moment over here in eternal life. Just a minute away from everything else. Ah, that's better, you know? That's like a misty water on a hot day. It's like, yes, go there. Go there. Go there. Go to the Lord. We can go to the Lord anytime. For he will conceal me there when troubles come, and he will hide me in his sanctuary, and he will place me out of the reach on a high rock. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time, and I'm going to praise his name. Each day it's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. And he says, abide in me. You know, let's have us a good time. Then I will hold my head high above the enemies that surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come, talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. I just gotta get closer to you. I just gotta get closer to you. I just gotta get closer and closer and closer. Lord, I gotta get closer to you. Here I come, Lord. Do not turn back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. Oh God, my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. When mom died, I became an orphan. And I thought about that verse. But he had picked me up long before that. But I was just reminded of that. Because that's what the Lord does for us. Even if my... Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. The enemies are waiting for us. The enemies are looking... watching us closely for a weak spot. And so then they're waiting in the weak spot place. They're waiting in the place, oftentimes the place that, I think maybe I heard Dutch Sheet says, they're waiting for us in the places that we've talked about. The things that we've declared, they're waiting for us in those places. Those aren't victory declarations. Those are, I can't stand this, this, or this, or this. Or maybe I can't stand this person. They're waiting for us near that person. They're waiting for us in the places that we've talked about the most. Well, if we've talked about the Lord the most, they got no place to wait. Right? They've got no business here. They've got no place here. So, you know, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Because the enemy is waiting for me. Waiting for me. Don't let me fall into their hands. Help me recognize, even if I've set up the trap for myself, not to fall into it. Not to fall into it. I was helping Vicki put up Christmas decorations last night. I'm not good at it. I'm not OCD about it. I was trying to do it listening. But I wasn't doing it right. And when we got all done, I went down and stood back a ways and I looked at it. I said, I can't leave that way. And by then, she was hoping that I would leave it alone. Well, then I could see it, you know. And so now I was going to fix it. I'll fix it. I'll show her. I'll fix it. Is that the right attitude? No. I set the trap, and I walked into it. Wriggled out of it with all of my appendages, and we were okay. But you know, we do. Think about that. We sometimes we set the trap with our attitude, with our words. And we say, don't let me fall into their hands, Lord. They accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Isn't that how the enemy works? Isn't that the voice that speaks in your ear, accusing you of things you haven't done, digging up things that you almost did, but you haven't done it, speaking and... Yet, I am content. I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes. Wait patiently for the Lord. That's what's in us, folks. The Word of God never fails. And so that's what's in us. And we are becoming what's in us. And we are not as those who are ever learning and not understanding. We're understanding. And we're yielding ourselves to where we are in what we are. You know? It's important for us to don't become discouraged. Don't give up. We're riding a bicycle over and over and over again. And if you learn to ride a bicycle and you never tipped over, you're amazing. But I think that everybody that ever rode a bicycle dumped it. You know? When I was a kid, I didn't have a bicycle, but there was this old, like, 26-inch or something like that that was out in the garage. And so I dug it out, and I about needed the ladder to climb on it. But I'd lean it against the tree, and then I'd work my way up the braces, and I'd get on top of it, and off I'd go. It was way too tall. It was quite a fall. But I learned to ride that bicycle. And then I got a bicycle. It wasn't quite as tall, and it was a lot easier, and it was the fastest bicycle in Highmore. I'd race anybody. It was a Yamaha, old red one from Gamble Store. How'd I end up with a bike from the Gamble Store? Oh, maybe it was. I'll have to go look. It's hanging somewhere. Okay, now I'm going to go look at it. But it was red. Oh, it was nice, and it was fast. There was a dog in the neighborhood that was a big Doberman Pinscher, and you never knew when he was going to come around. And when he'd come around, I'd pedal till he got close. Then I'd put my feet up on the handlebars and get away until I could pedal again. Fastest bike in the... Anyway. Then they came out with 3-speed, so you had to have a 3-speed. I remember John Slegger had a black one with gold letters on it. Yeah, oh yeah. Rich kid. The blessing of the Lord, it make us rich, you know? But we are all of the things that we read, all of the promises we are, all of those things dwell in us, and we're working out what's been put in. We just are. And so this is the confidence that we have. Even if we don't have the confidence, it's the confidence that we have. We are being built up. We have that. Now, here's the thing. We have a hunger for God. And we desire, the Bible says that we've been made holy. We desire to be holy. But sometimes we speak that we really aren't holy. We speak, well, I'm not holy yet, you know. I just messed up yesterday. I think I messed up today. In fact, I think I mess up every day. That doesn't have anything to do with what God says. You are. Because you're still set apart to God, right? You don't change your mind. You don't say, I guess I don't need God anymore. At least I don't think so, do you? Do you ever say, nah, this God stuff's a waste of my time? You don't do that, do you? No, you don't. But you might speak just a little bit of a lie. Not intentionally, but you might say something like, you know, God's going to give up on me. I've messed up too many times. He won't do that. Because he sees what you are. and you're becoming what you are. Now, we can decide to maybe put the pedal to the metal, you know. We can decide to wind that baby up. We can decide to downshift so it'll jump into action. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that He lives, and I'm confident that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I like this life. It does not require anything of me that I don't desire. You know? It doesn't. I desire whatever He wants. Sometimes we might sense that what He wants is maybe not comfortable, but that's okay if it's not comfortable. We can get used to it. You know? We can pull that. Sometimes if you pull on a shirt and it's a little bit twisted and you got to get it untwisted and get it everything. But once you got it on the way it's supposed to be on, this works. You know? And that's the thing with the Word of God. Work out what's in us. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. You know? Live dedicated to Jesus and being prepared at every opportunity to tell people how good He is and what He's done for us. Talk about breaking through and scoring just by mentioning the Lord. Just by declaring God is good. Just by saying, man, the Lord has blessed me today. Whatever the case might be. See, because that's what we're made for. And that's what sometimes breaks the seal and gets things going. You know, some things like you grab them and you're trying to get the lid off. And if you're squeezing the lid so tight, you're keeping it from getting off. You got to get the right grip so that you can take it off. And I do that a lot because sometimes I'm squeezing that baby and I'm working against myself. You know? And spiritually speaking, sometimes we work against ourselves by speaking those things that we don't want. And aren't true, but we say them. And we build a little fence out there for the enemy to trap us in. But you have been made holy. You have been perfectly outfitted to fulfill the promises that God has put into you. And those are the only things that we look good in. They fit us. They're the things that are comfortable for us. That's why the peace of God that passes understanding will just overtake you sometimes, and you don't even know that you've done what you've done. You're not even aware that you've done it, but here comes the peace of God saying, wow, what was that? This week, I saw that there really are northern lights. Not made up by a camera. No, I know that they're there. They talk about them all the time, you know. But Vicki will show me, look at the sky. And it's a picture somebody has put up. But the thing that they put up, they've done with their camera. See, the camera can see better than an eye can see, and the camera will wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and there they are. And all these times that I've spent out in the fields, at the cemetery, anywhere, trying to find a dark enough place so that we could see, and Vicky would see, oh, there they are. She thought. So this time she went out. And so then I went out because she called and said, where are you? You've got to see these. So I went out to see them. And I went out and I said, Vicky. She didn't answer me. So I couldn't find her. But I saw this plume coming up. Now it was when I saw it, it was like in the mist stage. There wasn't any color to it, but it was white, so I suppose it was color, you know, but it was just there, and okay, well, she'll really be having a fun time with that, and I couldn't find her, so I went back in and did some other things, emptied a bunch of emails, something important, you know. Then we got ready to go to bed. I know, this is wasting a lot of your time, but we got ready to go to bed, and Vicky looked out the window. Colors. There really were colors. So then I went out to see the colors. Now I was standing in the middle of my driveway and I saw colors. The bright light coming from the school's storage shed couldn't bother those colors. The street lights couldn't bother those colors. Those babies were there. And they just kept getting better and better until God gave Vicky literally an umbrella over our house. There was pink, and there was blue, and there was green, and there was red. And I mean, they were just there. And I was enamored. They are real. You know, she hasn't been lying to me all this time. And all, see, the thing is, pictures, they're good enough for me. Rather than wasting my time driving around, trying to find something that, frankly, was not worth the trip. But these were worth the trip. And now they're real to me. Is that going to make me, am I going to drive to other states to see them? I doubt it. But I can tell you that I saw them. And I can talk about them and you can sit there and think, I think your imagination was overactive, Roger. Oh, no, man. They were there, weren't they, honey? Yes, really there. Really there. You could snap a picture, and they were there. You didn't have to hold it still and get it. Bang, they were there. So anyway, I say that to say this. The Word of God is true. And it never fails. The more that we come in to the holiness that's in us, the more true and the greater revelation we receive. Because what we're doing is we are just growing into what's filling us. It wasn't worth my time to go outside to look at those lights first time. To me. She was pretty excited about it. And she came in, she said, I hurt myself worse than I knew being out there. She limped up the stairs and looked out the window, and there we were again. I said, oh, praise the Lord, let's go. But they were there. God is always there. What was there was somewhere before it got to our where, you know? Maybe God just gave those to Vicky all by herself, but, you know, they were out there somewhere. Someone was seeing them, but I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night, you know. Keep coming into the light, folks. Keep coming to the light. Keep enjoying eternal life, because you've had eternal life since you called upon God for salvation. You've had eternal life. And so all of those things that are the life that is in us, they're waiting for us. You know? So keep going. If you don't be weary. Don't do like in Pilgrim's Progress, sit on the bench of enough. You know? Keep going. Storm, he doesn't like to walk anymore. He always wants to run. I don't know where he got the idea that I wanted to run. You know? Now, I'm not too proud to hold him up a little bit, but he runs me quite a ways, and it ain't bad for me. Makes my feet hurt a little bit, you know. But I didn't want to run anymore. I'd run enough, you know. I ran enough miles, and I don't want to run anymore. And I was sitting on that bench of enough, but I might as well, you know. We need to just go ahead and do what the Bible says. Press into it. Keep pressing. That's how we started. That's how this church started. We were pressing. You know? We were pressing. I'll quit with this, okay? I heard a guy, if you do the devotions on the Bible app, if you do the verse of the day, the other day it was all in Spanish with captions. So, okay. I happen to live in America. English is the language. What are you doing to me? But I can read, you know. And so I read it. Anyway, at the end, he was talking about love, and he said, a church that loves grows. And I thought, this church has always been pretty good at loving, hasn't it? You know, the open arms. I got a poem written by Nyla Buchholz that it says, you know, she walked into Hosanna, she was scared, she was unsaved, and she was loved. And she ends it with saying, follow me, I'm free, I'll lead you in the way. You know, we've had people, we've had an oasis from time to time. People from all over have shown up, you know. And yet, we don't look like a mega church. Except for the fact that a church that loves grows. And we don't know how large we are in Africa. But it's thousands. The love has grown. We don't know how large we are in the Philippines, but we've loved, and it's grown. We've been a part of huge things, and it's because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But when he first said that, I thought, oh Lord, we're back to charisma. You know, if you don't baptize 100 people a year, you're not a real church. They've never been to Highmore. You know, I used to just shake my head at that stuff, you know. But you have to think about it. And you can receive condemnation if you want to. You can receive discouragement if you want to. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. You, God's plan was that we be made holy by the death of Christ on the cross once and for all. Holy God, make me holy. Merciful God, make me merciful too. Loving God, make me loving. Bottom line, Lord, I want to be like you. That should pretty well settle it, shouldn't it? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we are becoming what we are thanks to you. You don't give up on us. You just keep coming. And Lord, I pray that you will instill in us a keep coming spirit as well. We're just going to keep getting closer to you. Every day, in every way, everything we do, everything we say, we're just going to get closer and closer to you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.